The sermon title is today, The Soul of America is Counting on Us. The Soul of America is Counting on Us. And I would like for you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 this morning. 2 Timothy and chapter 3. In 2 Timothy and chapter 3, if you go down to verse 16, and I've got quite a bit of scripture to read today, not a lot of different chapters, but some scripture to read to you, but I think you'll appreciate what is shared today. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In verse 16, when we read that again, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, going back in the original text, it literally means that it is God-breathed. The Bible is God's breath in written form. As you and I cannot survive without breath, I am convinced, and I am thoroughly convinced, that neither the church nor a nation can survive without the living Word of God. In Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now I want us to turn to there, Romans chapter 10. So Romans chapter 10, we're going to come back to Timothy in just a little bit. But in Romans chapter 10, in Romans chapter 10, starting from verse 14, it says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? And in verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. When one sows and one waters, what are we sowing and what are we watering? We are sowing and we are watering the word of God. You and I, all of you, are proclaimers of God's Word. The word here is talking about specifically about preachers, but the word preach means to proclaim. All of you, since you have come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have become an ambassador for Christ. It's up to all of us to proclaim and to share the Word of God. At Crossroads Gospel Church, you have heard over 1,000 times probably, and you're going to hear it 1,000 more times. We believe the Word of God. We stand on the Word of God, and we proclaim the Word of God. We believe the Word of God in the inerrancy of the Scripture, that it is without error. We stand on His Word, we act in faith, believing what it says, and we proclaim the Word, sharing the good news with others, leading them to salvation. The Word of God is God-breathed. You cannot separate the Word from the Spirit of the living God. You cannot separate them out, because they work in tandem together. As we share the Word, the Spirit is touching and moving in people's lives to draw them ever closer to Him. That's why they call this the living Word of God, because it is alive and it is active. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. What makes the Word of God sharper than any two-edged sword? Because it is infused with the Spirit of God. It brings conviction to one's heart, leading us to a place of salvation. Now, Kern went back with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy in chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Verse 15 says, "But and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So we know that the Apostle Paul, he is mentoring a young minister by the name of Timothy. And he says in verse 15, and that from childhood You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The Word of God leads us by His Spirit to the point of salvation. We are led, we are moved, we are convicted, but it's up to us to apply the faith in our life to that truth as the Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts and our lives. Verse 16, Paul is establishing this truth in Timothy's life. So when you look at verse 16 again, all Scripture, Timothy, I'm telling you, Timothy, I don't want you to back down. I don't want you to take a back seat. I don't want you to take a step back. I want you to step forward for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I'm telling you, Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. And because it is God-breathed, you can trust it. You can share it because it will change people's lives just like it changed my life today. Paul is establishing this truth in Timothy's life. It is established. Is it established in your life today? We see everything that's going on in society today. We've taken the first 9 chapters of the book of Genesis and we have thrown it down and we have trashed it, beginning from the very beginning, God created, God made, God spoke. What we have done with evolution, what we have done with marriage, we have done one thing after another. The adversary has attacked the Word of God and the church has allowed him to attack it and not stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Carol said, you know what? The gay flag, it's even a rainbow. What did God give us a rainbow for? Because he put a bow in the sky promising that he would never destroy the earth by water again. She says, they even took that from us. What are they going to take next? It's one thing after another. Paul establishes this truth in Timothy's life. And it needs to be established in our life today that God's Word is without error. The Word of God is the breath of God. It is the voice of God in print. Once he establishes this truth, look what Paul goes on to say to Timothy in verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Profitable for doctrine. In other words, because it is true, you can base your life on it and in it. For reproof, it will show you when you're doing things wrong, when you're walking the wrong direction. It will correct you and it will adjust you in your walk. It will instruct you to accomplish what? Well, verse 17 tells us what he wants to accomplish. That the man of God or the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. To make you complete in your walk with Jesus, there is a worldview of life. And there is a biblical view of life. The church in America has tried to intermingle the two together. The church in America has tried to blend evolution with creation. The church in America has tried to be more woke. The church in America has tried to be more inclusive. And because of this, the church is dying, and so is our nation. I'm as inclusive as anyone could be. Everyone is welcome to our church. Everyone is welcome no matter what their background is, no matter what their lifestyle is. But we are not going to violate God's word. We are going to stand on God's word. We're going to preach God's word. We want change to come to them. We don't want them to change the church. So we need to stand for the word of God. The people need our love. They need our support. They need our encouragement. They need to know the truth because the world is dying without the truth today. There is a famine in this land today, and it's a famine of truth. God's word is truth. Turn with me to the book of Amos. It's one of the minor prophets towards the end of the Old Testament. Sometimes it may be a little hard to find, but if you go with me to Amos, and I know that Jonathan will put it on the overhead if you can't find it, but go with me to Amos in chapter 8. Amos in chapter 8. In chapter 8, we go down to verse 11. So Amos chapter 8, verse 11. He says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Now, we can't say that's exactly what God is doing in our nation today, but we have done it to ourselves. We have created this famine in our world, in the world we live in today, because we don't teach the Word, we don't preach the Word, we do not promote the Word, and all these churches are wanting to become so inclusive and become more woke that they're allowing all this false teaching that is coming into their church. The example here is today that the nation of Israel was going to dry up and they were going to blow away without the Word of God. So when you say in the beginning, "I believe that the problem with the United States is everyone needs to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior," and you're absolutely right, everybody in this country needs to be born again, everybody in this country needs to accept Jesus, and that would change this country radically overnight. But let me tell you, it begins with the Word of God. That's what brings change. To share the Word, to preach the Word, to be instant in season and out of season, as Paul instructs Timothy to do. So there is a famine in this land today, and it's a lack of the Word of God. There needs to be a revival in this world today, and the revival needs to be the Word of God. He goes on to say, verse 11, we'll read that again. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but not be able to find it." God's word, quickened by His Spirit, brings salvation. Yes, without the truth of God's word, the church is dying. Our nation is dying before our eyes. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people will perish." People need the word of God. It provides leadership. It provides direction. Our nation is lost and dying. It needs the word to restore it. What did Paul tell Timothy? The word reproves, it corrects, it instructs. And our world needs, the United States needs to be reproved, it needs to be corrected, and it needs to be instructed. It provides vision for the people and their lives. So when the scripture says that they that are without vision will pass away or they will die, is because it is the Word of God that provides that vision. It provides that direction for their life. And if people don't have the true direction in their life, they're going to follow something else, and it will lead to their destruction. And that's what we see taking place in the United States today. Now turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 37. You see, I didn't forget this sermon because we mentioned it 2 weeks ago before I left. I remember we had VBS that day and Father's Day, and I could only share for a couple minutes, Pastor Carol told me. But I said, I will not forget this. We will come back to it. And today we have, and we're in Ezekiel chapter 37, and we're looking at the Valley of Dry Bones. The nation of Israel had dried up. They were spiritually dry. There wasn't anything that was holding them together. And they didn't become like flesh and sinew. They become like bones laying in a desert. He says in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1, and I'll read quite a bit here today, but I want you to listen to the words as they're being shared. "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones, and they caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many in the open valley, and indeed they were dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live?" I say to you today, can the nation of the United States live? Can the nation of the United States come back to its prosperity that it did, that our founding forefathers founded this country on the Word of God? He said, "So I answered, O Lord God, you know." Again, he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I had commanded, and I prophesied. There was a noise and suddenly a rattling. The bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, I looked. The sinews and the flesh come upon them, and the skin covered them all over, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy through the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from all four winds of breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied, and he commanded me, and breath came into every one of them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, and the exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves. O my people, and brought you up from the graves, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your land, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Listen to the words. In America, our nation, the church has become nothing but dry bones. The truth of God's words needs to be spoken to it. Many of you know the scripture found in 2 Corinthians 7:14. If my people will humble themselves and they will repent and turn from the wicked ways, I will restore them, kind of my own paraphrase. This nation needs to repent. But I cannot, as a person, I cannot, as a pastor, depend on our Senate to repent. I can't depend on our Congress to repent. I can't even depend on the Church of America to repent. But I know that there's one church that will repent for this nation, and that's Crossroads Gospel Church. In Ezekiel, he says, I looked to find someone that would stand in the gap, and there was no one there. Who will stand in the gap with me today to stand in the gap for the soul of our nation? And you say, well, there were just a few people. How can we make a difference in this whole nation? We got a whole church full. United States is full of churches. We have the Senate. We have the Congress. We have all these things. How can we make this difference? Because I can tell you it will make a difference, because a righteous prayer of a righteous man avails much. And Ezekiel said, he told Ezekiel what? You prophesy. You prophesy to this world and to this nation. Can these bones of America live again? And I say, only you know, Lord. And the Lord says, then you prophesy to them. We need to have a prayer of repentance for our nation and for the Church of America. And if someone would be willing to stand with me today to say, I will stand in the gap for the soul of this nation. Would one of you stand up and say that? I will stand in the gap for the soul of this nation. And if we as a body of Christ are willing to stand in the gap, there's a lot more of us than just little Ezekiel. We're standing in the gap for the nation. We're going to repent for our nation. We're going to repent for our church. We're going to repent from this world and its wicked ways. And we say, God, you breathed your breath of life back into it. Because it's only God that is going to save this nation. It's not any army. It's not going to be anything else. I'm not worried about China. I'm not worried about Russia. I'm worried about the rottenness that is creeping into the middle of America, and it's eating this country up one step at a time. And we need to repent, because we need God's direction. We'll pray together. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, we repent. We repent for this country. This country has done such terrible things to you. They've done such terrible things to this world and to the people. And Father, we repent from this for this nation. Father, we are turning our hearts back to you. And Father, we ask that in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, that you would breathe your life back into it by the Spirit of the living God through the Word of God today. We ask it, that it would be done in your precious and holy name. And everyone said, amen. It is done. It is written. We praise you, Father. We glorify your name for what you're doing right now. And we thank you, Father, that we are going to see the outcome. Father, I pray over this congregation. What a wonderful congregation. What a great, great a bunch of loving people and caring people, faithful in their giving and attendance. I pray that, Lord, you would bless them. I pray that other people in the world would see them and say, man, they have something I don't have. They are people that I could really like to be like. I wish I had what they had. That it would be drawn like a magnet to the gospel of Jesus Christ and know him as Lord and Savior. Father, be with us as we go our separate ways. We give you all glory. We give you all honor. And we give you all praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.